What's a newspaper without a newsroom? I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, we explore the back roads of Cowley County to search for its beautiful and historic bridges.
It's an art, something that's not found everywhere.
But first, in Hollywood's vintage movies about newspapers, newsrooms always had editors who barked like drill sergeants and reporters who were part journalist, part huckster. Like Kirk Douglas in Ace in the Hole.
I can handle big news and little news. And if there's no news, I'll go out and bite a dog.
The newsrooms of yesteryear are long gone, and today's newsrooms may not be far behind. Many newspapers are closing their newsrooms, choosing instead to have journalists work remotely, as many have done since the pandemic started. The Wichita Eagle will vacate its space in Old Town next month. The company says it plans to have an office again in the future, but when that might be, and what that newsroom might look like, is uncertain. It's a trend that troubles some former journalists like Buzz Merritt. He spent more than 40 years in a newsroom, including nearly 25 as executive editor of the Eagle.
I think we lose a whole lot when individuals who are supposed to be collaborating on producing something like good journalism are distant and not touching and looking directly and interacting directly physically with each other.
Nikki Usher agrees. She's an associate professor at the University of Illinois who studied the connection between where journalists work and how they cover news. Usher says good reporters don't spend much time in the newsroom anyway because they're out looking for stories. But that doesn't mean newsrooms aren't important.
Having a physical place where people can come together to bounce ideas off of each other, to discuss issues and concerns, to spot those who are struggling, you know, I think that those are all things that come out of being in a newsroom. I think that being in a newsroom facilitates, you know, better editing, it facilitates better conversation.
Many newsrooms have turned to Zoom or other technology during the pandemic to replace in-person meetings and discussions between journalists. But Merritt, who calls good journalism the plasma that democracy needs to function, thinks that's a poor substitute.
We remain, despite all of our technical and other accomplishments, we remain living, breathing, loving, hating human beings. And to expect a complex, organic process that gathering and reporting news well really is, to expect it to be a bloodless technological process is inviting disaster.
Many journalists fondly recall the days of smoke-filled newsrooms, alive with the clatter of typewriters and teletype machines. I miss my days in the sports department, where we traded puns, flippant comments, and insults as deadline approached.
It's not really about nostalgia.
Lorraine Ahern is an assistant professor at the University of South Alabama who worked in newsrooms for more than 30 years.
It's about the role of the media organization, a strong media voice in a community, to get us through tough times like the pandemic, to get us through the vaccination process. Do we need a new high school? Do we need a new airport? How does everybody get on the same page when there's not a strong voice?
You can read more about the changing newsroom and what that might mean for the communities they serve at KMUW.org. Cowley County is the Stone Arch Bridge capital of Kansas. Seriously, look it up. There are 16 bridges scattered about the county on tiny back roads. Most of them are well over 100 years old, built by hand with local limestone. For this month's Hidden Kansas, Lou Ann Stevens visits the bridges of Cowley County.
This is the County Poor Farm Bridge. It's over the Black Crook Creek tributary. That's almost a tongue twister.
Yes, it is.
That's Cindy Gertz, a volunteer with the Cowley County Historical Society and a Stone Arch Bridge expert.
You can come out so close to it and feel that you are right here. It's closer, it's smaller,
The County Poor Farm Bridge is tiny with a narrow arch, shaped almost like a tunnel. And like Cindy said, you can walk right up to the edge of the riverbank for a perfect view. Long limestone rocks are stacked with smaller rocks acting as mortar, held together by gravity and friction.
It's an art, something that's not found everywhere. You don't find the limestone to quarry in the area. I mean, it's a unique area because it is in the Flint Hills.
Eastern Cowley County is the western edge of the Flint Hills, and as we traveled to find the next bridge, the landscape changed from farmland to cattle country. The trek to these hidden bridges takes you through some gorgeous scenery, even in winter. Brown soil, every shade of tan and gold, and the silver of last year's tall grass shimmering in the wind. After several turns, there was a sharp curve to the left into the woods and down into the creek valley, and there it was, a steep arch in the road, the Badger Creek Bridge.
You come up over the bridge, and you really have to watch it because most of these bridges are not very wide because, of course, they were built when we had horses and buggies.
Our final destination was 5 or 6 miles away, east, then south, then east again.
If you noticed when we turned down to come to this bridge, there was this nice little sign that said Stonebridge with an arrow. And you think, okay, it's going to be right here.
It wasn't. We drove about 3.5 miles from the sign to reach the Silver Creek Bridge. This is a double arch structure with fast-moving water emptying into a pool. You can walk right up to the edge of the creek and put your toes in if you're brave enough. I wasn't, but it was the last day of February after all. Like the other bridges, Silver Creek is surrounded by scenic countryside. Trees, small hills, farms with big red barns. The drive is as beautiful as the destinations, which is good, Cindy Gertz says, because you have to work a little to find some of them.
Most people have no idea they are there. In fact, they've probably driven over many and never realized what they were driving over.
For The Range, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
If you want to visit the bridges, you can get a map and brochure from the Cowley County Historical Society. See more from Lou's trip at KMUW.org. And one last thing. When I got married in 1985, my father-in-law made only one request. When he came to visit, he didn't want to eat store-bought meat. As a guy who grew up consuming store-bought meat, I wasn't sure what the big deal was. But I got a deep freeze anyway, and each spring for the last 35 years, I've driven to a meat locker to buy a side of beef, usually provided by one of my brothers-in-law who raised cattle. I picked up nearly 900 pounds last weekend to be divided among family members, including my son-in-law. After all, when I visit, I don't want to eat store-bought meat. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Nadia Foe and Lou Ann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.